I'm nasally congested.
I've been crying all day.
And you're here with us on A Teacher's Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Guys,
we are falling apart at the seams.
100%. But for real.
Yeah, Ashley's body, according to the doctors, it is failing her.
Oh, 100%. I went to get a physical the other day. They said, oh, you might have sleep apnea, so you got to do a sleep study. Oh, you're having shortness of breath. We need to do a chest x-ray, an echo, and a bunch of blood work. So I'm just not doing well. On top of that, you know, I came back from Nashville and my body was like, oh, you just not going to be well.
Yeah, so she's falling apart and mm-hmm. I'm an emotional wreck. So there's that.
Yep. So we're just the best combination that you can have, you know?
But we always like to keep it honest and real.
Duh.
So if you did not see, this is our normal release, but we did release two episodes last week. We released it. No, we did not. And I also cannot
we
talk.
Released it.
Yep. Sounds like somebody's name. Released it. Get over here. So we released a happy hour episode and we were happy houring all over the place.
And I just want to warn you, like, if the editing is really bad, I edited that while I was in Nashville. So if there are things that I messed up, I 100% take responsibility. But it had to get edited.
Yes.
So I hope it was good for y'all.
And normally I listen, but I'm also an episode behind as well. And then I'll text Ashley while I'm listening, which is typically while I'm driving. I'm like, hey, did you know I did this? She went, no, I did not. No, I did not know that. So we also released Air. Oh, my God, Becky. Air. Yeah. We also released our Volume 2 Teacher Chat.
See, numero dos.
Yeah, and we were just chit-chatting about state testing and good old Jill Biden, the first lady.
Yeah, she needed to be the last lady. Child, she ain't doing nothing for us.
So if you did not listen to those, you need to go and do so.
100%.
And yeah. So we did not have content for you guys. We just did not have our normal content for you
guys.
Yes,
because we was, child, we had a time in Nashville, y'all.
Nashville was real.
I literally am sad every morning I wake up and I'm in Delaware.
I agree.
Because it was so
fun.
Well,
not sad that I'm not in Delaware, but sad I'm not in Nashville.
It was such a good time. It was... I'm telling you, Mary, you know how to throw a shindig, girl.
She gave the best prizes, y'all.
Yo.
People were fighting over those prizes.
On the real, that sweatshirt is the most comfortable sweatshirt I have ever worn in my entire life.
She's going to love that.
It is. So I need to know where it was purchased, if there are more, because I want them all.
All
of them.
So Ashley won a sweatshirt that says, dump him.
Because, period.
Because you already know.
And I also got a keychain, but it says something really inappropriate. But I decided I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to put it on my spare keys.
That's hilarious.
So when, you know, in the event that I'm like, oh, come and, you know, drive my car or something, they're going to have the keychain and it's going to
say. And that's going to be funny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
She had some really good games and some really good prizes. We played Limbo on the first night.
Yeah. We had Craft Night.
We did Craft Night. Yeah. And shout out to Ari because her hat won. And oh my God, maybe she'll send us a picture of her hat because it was ballin'.
Fire.
She was working on it for 3 nights in a row.
100%.
Like she was determined to have this hat.
And I don't even think she knew that it was a contest. I feel,
because
I didn't know it was a contest until Mary was like, well, Ari won. And I was like, well, dang.
Well, if I had known.
If I would have known it was a contest, I would have did a little more of my hat.
Exactly. I did my hat and I put little James's on my hat.
Yes.
Well, so James did not know that we had gotten confetti of his face, those little like mini James's. Uh-huh. And so when I got home, I was like showing him and he goes, I need 5,000 more of these. I said, why do you need 5,000 of your face? He goes, the things I could do with these.
I'm crying.
So, yeah, he wants more confetti of his face.
I mean, who doesn't want confetti with their face?
Yep. And then the little, like, sticks with James's face on them. Yep. Casey has been walking around the house going, I'm Mr. James. I'm Mr. James. I'm Mr. James.
Oh, gosh. That is so funny. When I told the girls, I was like, yeah, I was at Auntie Brooke's bachelorette party because she's getting married. Skylar was like, to Mr. James? I said, yes. I just don't know how she remembers these things. Like, her memory is better than mine.
Well, you're also falling apart, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
And also, when we were in Nashville, we had no idea until we got there that Taylor Swift's concert was the same daggone weekend.
Yup. And let me tell you, y'all Swifties, y'all show up for y'all's girl, because they stood out on a bridge and watched her whole concert inside the arena. People were on a bridge, literally with lawn chairs, dressed up just like the girls that were inside of the concert. Yep. And just out there like, it's a love story, baby, 100%. Just say yes.
They were dedicated. My coworker went to, I believe, the show in Tampa. And I feel like Taylor Swift is just following me because she will be in Philly this weekend. And she's like, I don't know what I have to do, but I'm going to that concert. Like, ma'am, you already went to one.
Yeah. You know, I like Taylor Swift. And we might be canceled for this. But, like, I'm not like that.
Neither am I. Like, same thing. Like, Beyonce just kicked off her tour in, I think it was Sweden. Or something like that. And granted, my friend group, complete beehivers, they're going to the Philly show. I respectfully declined because beehivers don't come for me. It's not that I don't like Beyonce, it's just that I'm not paying my
$800.
Not even, like, some of those tickets, like, crazy.
Yeah. Oh, they said that she was going to break into the billions with this tour.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. Like, they're reselling Taylor Swift's tickets in, like, this Facebook group I'm part of, and they're going for $2,500.
See, now what, you know, immediately my brain is like, all the things that I could do with $2,500.
Factual.
And, you know, I feel like I've already been to her concert because of all the TikToks, all the Instagram stuff, all the stories, all the posts.
We were practically there.
We were. I saw her on the thing. I saw
the Jumbotron.
I saw her on the Jumbotron. I waved. I was like, what up, T-Swift? Hey, girl.
Yep. We saw the fireworks at the end or whatever.
Yeah, we sure did.
It was very magical.
I'm sure she did great.
Yeah. I mean, she's running herself in the ground. Because what, she spent 3 days out there?
Yeah, she did 3 days. But then I also saw, and I mean, like, people are always going to, like, point out the negative stuff. But then I saw, like, her concert in Florida right now where she missed the cue. She messed up on some lyrics. Like,
yeah.
It's got to be exhausting.
I mean, she's doing 3 shows back to back, like, every night. Like, she's, nobody is perfect, in the words
and
of Hannah Montana.
Yeah, and people say she puts on a whole production.
I mean, this is literally her concert. I think what they said, she performed 45 songs or something like that. Like,
and performed in the rain.
Like, come on. Like, give her flowers, okay? She is doing it.
She really is.
She is doing it, child. So.
Anyways, you know, we're going to just jump right into it because I actually have the case today. And I mean, I'm not going to start the case right now, but it is a mini lesson. And I think this is like my first mini lesson.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
At 100. Actually, wait, didn't you, the one with the son and he killed his mom?
I did because they don't have a ton of detail. So this is my second. Okay. I lied. I'm sorry. Yes.
I forgot about that one until just now. I wonder if there are any updates on him.
I need to check on that.
Yeah. I think we should do that. But before we do that, we're going to jump into our Estudiante Estrella.
You did that very well to be congested.
You know, I really just had to bring it out because on the teacher chats, I tried to do the jingle. It was not jingling, so I just had to come correct today.
Yeah.
But our review is from DoggoLover08, and of course, it is a 5-starer.
Bam, 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 bam.
Period, Blue's Clues.
Mm-hmm.
And the review is titled, Love This So Much. And it reads, I am not a teacher or an adult, but I am a teacher's kid. Because of this, I understand all of the teacher talk, and it's great. My teacher parents has gone through just about all of the teacher talk you guys have talked about. I love crime podcasts, and being a teacher's kid, this podcast is perfect. I love the banter and the humor and the sympathy for everyone that is needed for. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yes. That's crazy that kids listen to us.
I know.
You know, because on the teacher chats, I was dropping the S-bomb a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we've gotten a little bit more loosey-goosey with our language, but it's all right.
Yeah, we try
because, you know, they're, you know, I love Morgan and Taylor from Creeps and Crimes. Y'all already know that. But, like, they will literally count how many F-bombs they drop. Like, they'll give themselves a limit. They're like, okay, we cannot drop more than 7, so make them worth it.
I feel like if I was to ever drop the F-bomb on Teachers Talk Crime, I would be so paranoid.
I think I did drop it once.
I think I've said the S-word. And I think I said the B word once.
Yeah.
I think so. But that was, I think, on a happy hour. So, you know how things get, you know? They get kind of crazy.
Crazy.
But, if y'all heard that, if I can't edit out that sniffle, I'm so sorry. But DoggoLover08, I thank you so much for your review. This gold stars for you. Bang.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We did that.
We really did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. All right. So, you know, we're going to go right into it. And I have no murder for you once again. When am I going to bring back the murder? I don't know. So sit down. Shut up. The kidnapping is about to begin.
Ahora.
There are no major trigger warnings in this case because this is an all survivors case. It is going to be very similar to a case that we have done in the past, aka what I just did recently. But I found this like while searching for that one, and it was really interesting. And also, this case goes out to our 1% Australian listeners.
Hey, shout out to y'all. Boo, 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 boo.
Yes. So the Faraday school kidnapping took place on October 6th in 1972 in a town called Faraday, located in Australia. Edwin John Eastwood and Robert Clyde Boland kidnapped 6 female pupils and their female teacher. They were held for ransom, but all victims escaped and the men were captured, tried, and convicted.
Love that.
So before we dive into the specifics of the Faraday school kidnapping, let's set the stage. It was the fall of 1972 in an idyllic town of Faraday, located in the rural Victoria, Australia. Faraday was known for its close-knit community where everyone knew anyone, and that is because there were only 50 residents in Faraday.
50?
50.
That's wild. Everybody,
isn't that crazy?
You know, everybody in everybody business.
Everybody probably related. With only 50?
That's crazy.
So around 3 p.m. on October 6th in 1972, Eastwood and Boland entered the school armed with a sawed-off shotgun. The pair encountered 20-year-old Mary Gibbs, the primary teacher, and her 6 students. Now, I wrote in here that I don't know who has a class size of 6, but wouldn't that be the dream?
Man, a girl can dream. The but things I could do with 6 kids in a class.
Tell me about
like,
it.
They would all be proficient on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
But as I kept researching, I realized that this school wasn't like any school. This school was a one teacher, one room school.
Wait. Like, just in the whole school, one teacher?
Yes.
What grade was it?
Okay. All grades. Let me explain. Yeah. I dove into this. So in Australia, back in the 70s, they had these things called one-room schools. That's okay. Literally what they were called. And they were located in these rural areas where the teacher was the only adult in the building. This teacher taught all grades in one room. They were the nurse, the principal, the janitor, the PE teacher, the English teacher, the math. They did it all. So one teacher from another case said that he was a one school teacher in a rural area in Australia during the 70s, and he said he had 9 kids at one point. 2 of them were first graders, 3 were sixth graders, while the others all fell in between grades.
Well, I'm going to take that back because now yeah. I'm confused how that was even. That literally reminds me of my first job when I had only 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in the same room, but I was expected to teach them all on their individual level. So,
yeah.
That seems really difficult.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So it was very interesting. I was like, what is this?
Yeah, like, why did y'all do that?
But it was, these schools were located in rural areas, like where the community was only 50 people.
True.
And all the kids in this particular case were related. They were from 2 different families.
Wow.
So you had 6 kids, all female, and they came from 2 different families, all wow. 6. So all of Mary Gibbs' students were females between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. The kidnapped girls were the following: Linda Kahn, 9 years old, Helen Kahn, 6 years old, Robin Haworth, 10 years old, Jillian Haworth, 8 years old, and Denise Haworth, 5 years old.
Wow.
And then you have Christine Ellery, 10 years old. Now, I don't know where Christine Ellery fits in, but she is related somehow. I do know that.
Okay, maybe she like, I don't know, but yeah.
Like a cousin?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the pair, Eastwood and Boland, ushered the students and teacher into a red delivery van. They left a note at the school building that stated they planned to kill everyone if they were not paid $1 million in cash, but specifically $1 million in 50s and in 20s, with specific instructions on how many briefcases they wanted and what they wanted in each briefcase.
Sorry, we're not going to be making demands like this.
Also, you want $1 million in 50s and 20s?
Like, that is oddly specific.
Yeah, that's also going to take a lot of cash.
A lot of cash, a lot of time.
Yeah.
And just unnecessary.
Yeah.
Just take your money.
Exactly. And however we give it to you. You want Venmo? Yeah,
just be lucky we even entertaining this.
Yes. The hostages were transported to a remote area in the bush. And if you're unfamiliar with like Australian words, the bush, or sometimes called the outback, defines any part of Australia removed from the settled parts of the continent.
So like a jungle?
You know, but it's like, you know, it makes me think of that movie. Oh, what's that movie? Where, you know, the snake tries to go back to the outback and the Crocodile Dundee man's trying to go after them. Oh my, what is that movie?
I don't know.
Into the Outback. I don't know. It's a really cute movie. The girls would really like it. But it reminds me of that, where it's like all the red rocks and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. After some time of being missing, the note was now discovered, and the Premier of Victoria, so that's what they're called, the Premier of Victoria, which is like the head of the government. Okay. I put it was kind of like a mayor, but I should have been more specific and said it's kind of like the governor of the state. So it's basically the state government. The Premier of Victoria announced that the state government was ready and willing to pay the ransom that was being demanded of the 2 kidnappers. The government officials were driven to a scene where they believed they would encounter the kidnappers. They had a chief commissioner concealed under a blanket in the rear of the car with a high-powered rifle. They waited up to 2 hours for the 2 to show up, but they never did. However, the next morning, Eastwood and Boland told Mary Gibbs, the teacher, that they were leaving to go collect their fortune. Once Mary knew the gunmen were gone, she was able to kick out the door panel with what sources called, quote, a heavy platform-heeled leather boot.
Okay.
It was a very descriptive visual of her shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Mary herself said the following, quote, I've got a strong right foot. Because I just, keep in mind, Mary's 20 years old, guys. She's 20. Can you just like, in her thigh-high leather boots, teaching the youth of Australia in her rural community school. And she's like, yep, I got me a strong right foot, guys.
She said, these boots are made for walking and for being strong.
Yep. Mary was able to retrieve the children once she had kicked out the panel, and they ran through the early morning darkness. Within a couple of miles, they encountered help. It was then that the extensive manhunt was on for the kidnappers. Now, a little background on Mary Gibbs, because she was later rewarded for her bravery and her awesomeness. She got some golden award from the community. According to an article written shortly after the kidnapping, Mary was only 5 feet tall. Oh. So I have a feeling that her leather boots gave her a little extra oomph.
They know definitely what I mean? Did. She was probably 5'2 with them boots on.
Yes, she was. Yeah. That's why she loved her leather boots. Mm-hmm. So Mary was only 5 feet tall and was exceptionally strong-minded. Mary was what we call a first-year teacher. Mm. So at the age of 20 years old, she had just finished at Bendigo Teachers Training College, literally fresh out the gate. And they were like, you know what? We got the best assignment for you. You're going to go out to this small-ass town in this rural community and teach these 6 children that are all related.
Mm-hmm.
And then and don't think you're going to find no ma'am, because there's only 50 people out there.
I'm crying.
Mary said that in the beginning, she believed it was all just a joke of some sorts, stating, quote, I just couldn't believe it. At first, I thought it might have been 2 friends of my boyfriend's playing a joke. She went on to add, oddly enough, we were playing musical chairs at the time. I was on the piano. She says that she knew this was real and it became very obvious very quickly, and that the next 16 hours would be horrific.
Wait, she was playing musical chairs when they got kidnapped?
Yes, with the
kids. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Mary recalls grabbing a tape recorder as she was being kidnapped to take with her as they hauled them into the van. Now, she said that she did this with the idea that the music could potentially keep the girls calm and soothe them.
Oh, that's sweet. That was good.
She said that it worked, and the girls, along with Mary, sang some karaoke in the back of the van as they were being transported.
Okay.
And Mary basically, like, describes it. She was like, I made everything a lesson. I was like, all right, girls, it's now music time. And, like, she's like, I'm shaking in my literal boots, and I'm making this fun for them. Not, like, fun, but, like, I'm trying to soothe them the best way that she knew how.
Yeah, you're trying to make this less traumatizing for them.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. I love that. I don't know if I would have been so quick to respond in that way.
Right.
And she's like, a first-year teacher? What? Yeah. You better go ahead, Mary.
I know. Later that day, Mary said the gunman allowed them to get out of the van and stretch for a bit. Being the amazing person that she was, she told the girls they were just going on a little nature walk and not to worry, to take in all the nature scenes. And they did. However, as they walked to use the bathroom and stretch, the kidnapper was following behind them with a pocket knife.
Okay.
So, like, okay, girls, we're going on a nature walk. Don't mind the scary man behind you. Everyone look straight ahead.
Yeah, like, what do you see? Do you see that bird? Like,
I don't know that I could have been like that.
Like, let's play I spy with my little exactly. eye. Let's not spy the man with the knife.
Exactly.
Yes.
She is, like, doing it. Like, she is, like, teacher of the year.
100%. She's teacher of a lifetime. Okay.
Yeah. Because I just don't think I don't think I would have been that quick on my feet.
I mean, now that I heard this story, if I was ever unfortunately put in a situation like this, I would be like, ooh, what would Mary do?
Grab the Alexa.
Let's make this a learning experience.
Grab the algebra tiles. Yeah, I don't know. So a girl that was a part of the kidnapping, Christine Ellery, she was the oldest. She was the 10-year-old. She stated that Mary Gibbs kept them so calm. She ended up saying, quote, I was never really scared.
Wow, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they, granted, they probably had some trauma after it, but knowing that the way that she handled the situation probably saved them a great deal of trauma is an amazing thing for those girls. Like, I feel like they don't, because a lot of people in situations like that, like we were talking about the Chowchilla bus kidnapping, like a lot of those kids had like a lot of problems after that. And I feel like because of what Mary did, these girls won't have these problems because they she made it seem like this was just part of a regular day. It was just, you know, we're just doing things in a different way today in school.
Yep. It was all, yep. It's just how it's going to go.
Yep.
So we already know that Mary and them escaped, but Mary said that when she saw the chance to escape, she and the two bigger girls, Christine Ellery and Robin Haworth, I'm hoping I'm saying that right, They began kicking at the door panel. Now, we know that Mary's boots ended up busting it out, as described in the newspaper article. But Mary said that when they busted out the panel, they were crawling out and they began walking. She said that she kept the girls in a line. Now, she described this as a strategy that she used in school anyways, like it's how they would line up at school.
Yeah.
So she kept them in a line and she said, quote, "I kept to the tree lines and we walked along the creek beds." Mary said that they walked for about 2 hours before encountering help.
Wow. And where were the kidnappers at this time?
They had gone to collect what they believed they were going to collect their ransom.
Like, they just really thought that they were going to come back and they were just...
going to be chilling.
Yep. Just like, oh, hey, you're back.
Welcome back.
Bring us McDonald's or something. Like, come on now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Eastwood and Boland were captured by the Victoria police and they awaited their fate. Eastwood did enter into a plea of guilt of 7 counts of kidnapping in December of 1972. Eastwood received a sentence of 15 years with parole only being available after serving 10 of those years. So I really like how Australia does it. It's like they'll offer parole, but you have to serve a certain amount. It's not like it here where we're like, oh, with the possibility. They put like a cap. They're like, no, you cannot even ask. Don't even speak the word. Don't even think about it until this day.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. They also used him in his guilty plea. They tried to get him to inform the police about Boland. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, if you'll give up Boland, we will consider taking 3 other charges off the plate. These charges were armed robbery and some other just minor petty things.
Okay.
Now, it's really unclear if he did throw Boland under the bus because he later goes on to like really say that Boland was not even the other kidnapper. Huh. Boland, however, did not enter into a guilty plea and did go to trial by jury, where he was convicted in March of 1974.
Okay.
Now, his situation wasn't so quick, and this is why I think that Eastwood did not give him up, because Boland ended up having to go to 3 trials before they got a conviction.
Oh.
Yeah. But when they finally did get a conviction, he was sentenced to 17 years with the possibility of parole after serving 12 of those 17.
Okay.
So I know they said they tried to use Eastwood, but again, I couldn't find anything because he just stood firm in the fact that Boland was innocent. He even like offered up another guy and was like, this is the guy I was with. And that guy was like, no, you weren't.
I wonder why he was just so adamant on like being like it wasn't him.
Right. See, that's the weird part. So I'm like, did they make a mistake? But they said that they didn't make a mistake. Like it ended up coming out in some way. I don't know. I read that Eastwood's original statement, like the OG statement from like day one, implicated Boland. And then he tried to like recant it. And maybe they just got stuck on that once he gave up that name.
Maybe. I don't know. That's just weird to me. Like, why would, like, what would cause you to be like, yeah, it was him. Nah, never mind. I was just kidding.
It was actually this guy.
But it wasn't. So, like.
Yeah. Well, we're done talking about Boland because Boland did his time. He's done. He's whatever. He's Gucci. He's Gucci Bandana.
Mm-hmm.
Eastwood, however, his story is not over.
Oh, no.
On December 16th of 1976, Eastwood escaped from the Geelong prison after stealing a car.
How?
I don't know, but it gets better. He lasted months as an escaped criminal until February 15th, 1977. He had escaped from December all the way to February. And this was until he, wait for it, he kidnapped another teacher and 9 children.
What the hell?
I'm not laughing that he did that because these kids actually were very traumatized and this is a second kidnapping.
Like, why would you do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like when we were talking about, what was his name from the last episode, the happy hour, when he was locked up for doing all that stuff and kidnapping.
Oh, the Eliza Fletcher.
Yes. Like, it's just like him. Like, oh, I'm going to get out. I'm going to do it again. Like, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the same exact thing.
So this teacher also taught at a rural community school, a one-room school. It was a male teacher, a first-year teacher, and this is this teacher that had 9 students. And this was the Warwin State School in Gippsland, Victoria. Now, while driving from the scene after he had kidnapped 9 children and the teacher, he was driving from the scene and he ended up hitting a truck, like wrecked car, hit a truck, got out of the van and held the truck driver hostage. He then kidnapped the truck driver.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're at a person that he hit, the teacher, and 9 children. Okay, keeping count.
Okay.
Then
Yep.
he flagged down an 18-wheeler that drove by and he held them hostage.
He is doing too much.
Yeah.
Where you gonna put them all in the 18-wheeler?
Oh, no. He then flagged down a camper van with 2 females in it and added them to his hostage situation.
Like, sir, what are you? You sound very unhinged right now.
very
Like,
unhinged.
you are doing very chaotic
This
things.
sounds like a fly by the seat of your pants moment. Like, I'm gonna get you. I'm
Yes.
gonna get you.
It's like on Oprah, you'll get kidnapped. You'll get kidnapped. Like, what are you doing?
Literally. Yeah. So his final count of hostages was 16. He
16.
took 16 people hostage.
Oh
Yeah.
gosh.
He took them into a campsite that he had set up where he did have food, and all the kids said that the whole time he was very polite to the kids. He did not want to scare the kids. He tried to talk to the kids and keep them calm and soothe them. But some of the older kids were like, we knew that it was bad. Like, we knew it was bad. And one of the adults even said, this feels very similar to the Faraday case. Because it was so widely known. Well, when he heard that, he began bragging that he was the one that had done the Faraday case. And they said, I cannot remember what the word is, but it's like when he basically committed this crime to get his name back on the news. Like, he wanted to be the center of attention. It's like, I don't know what the word is.
I don't know either, but I know what you're talking
Yeah.
about.
So this time he did make demands. He made ransom demands, but listen to these demands. This confirms how unhinged he was. He demanded from the premier again $7 million.
Oh,
Hold on,
God.
hold on, gets better. 100 kilos of heroin and cocaine,
Oh, wow.
and the release of 17 of the most dangerous inmates at Pent Ridge Prison.
Now, why on God's green earth would you think these people, all right, let's just let them out, boys? Like,
Oh, go get the cocaine from the back. Tom, did you get the heroin?
what?
Oh, you only got 80 kilos? No, he really wants those 100 kilos.
Are we ever gonna find out why these specific demands were made?
Oh, no, just those were his demands.
Okay, 'cause that's just very strange. That's just a combination. Let me get some money, let me get some drugs, and let these bad people out of jail. No, I think that'll square everything away.
Yeah. But he did learn something from his Faraday case, okay? So when he had kidnapped the children and the teacher tried to unplug the clock from the wall to attempt to give a timestamp of when they had been kidnapped. So the teacher was like thinking on their feet. But Eastwood taped a sign to the door that said, gone on a nature walk, be back in an hour, so that he could have an hour head start. But this offended the teacher because the teacher said Eastwood intellectual ability spelled all the words in all caps and it was misspelled.
Yep, that'll do it. That'll raise some red flags there. How you gonna put that on a school building?
Gone for a nurture walk.
Gone for nurture work. Be Burke er.
And it just the HR for hour.
Probably.
Yeah.
Child.
I just think that this proves how unhinged he was. I can presume that he was high during all this. I have no sources that say that, but like just the demands and the sporadic kidnapping and this, 100%. You know, all of these things. It's just like, dude, were you high?
He was definitely under the influence.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't, child, there's some mental issues going on in that brain.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the hostages ended up escaping in the middle of the night. Now, this came about because the teacher began befriending Eastwood and talking to him and just getting to know him. And the other adults were like, why are you doing that? He kidnapped us. Why are you getting to know him? Blah, blah, blah. And Eastwood turns around. And he goes, look, we made him comfortable enough to fall asleep. You know, he was like, I'm going to get him comfortable enough so that he closes his eyes and trust us to be here and go to sleep. So while Eastwood was sleeping, one of the hostages ended up escaping and he actually had to run. He had to run pretty far, but ended up finding a farmhouse. Now, when he knocked on this farmhouse in the middle of the night, it's like 4 a.m. And then the people that opened the door spoke no English.
Damn.
Yep. And you can only imagine he's like, la, la, la,
la, la, la. And they're like, no comprende.
They're like, what? Huh? So one of the kids that they had obviously spoke a little bit of English and was able to translate just enough to allow him to use the phone to inform the police of their whereabouts and to tip them off of what's going on. Now, during this time, Eastwood woke up. He began noticing that he called it a singlet. He said, where is singlet at? Because that's like a wife beater in Australian. Like they call wife beaters singlets. Because it's like a single tank top.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's like we're learning Australian lingo.
Yeah.
He was like, where's singlet? Where's singlet? Where's singlet? And they're like, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. So Eastwood like began panicking. And so he throws all of the hostages into a camper, the camper that he had stolen.
Yep.
And they like head out, like they're speeding. Obviously, the police have been tipped off and they start shooting. And Eastwood had told the hostages, he was like, I'm not going back. Like, I'm going to get into a shootout. So they're freaking out because he's told them this. They're in the van. Eastwood's shooting. The police are shooting. Things are just shooting. Yeah, it's getting crazy.
Yes.
Eastwood ends up stepping out of the camper van. Now, according to Eastwood, he was surrendering. But the police say, no, he was not surrendering. So he tried to use this in court because when he stepped out of the camper van, Eastwood was shot below the right knee.
Mm.
And he claims that that was police brutality because he was trying to surrender.
Boy, bye. Goodbye with your heroin cocaine ass.
Yeah.
Talk about I was surrendering. Child, you were shooting at the police. Anything is warranted.
Exactly.
At this point.
Exactly.
They had to disarm you, and they shot you right below your knee. I know he fell the hell down real with the quickness.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So Eastwood was recaptured, and he was taken back. Now, Eastwood found himself back in a courtroom very quickly because he is, remember, he's an escaped convict.
Like, yes, he is.
He had escaped. He did all of this while being escaped from prison. He ended up not going to jury by trial because he did plead guilty again on 25 different charges, which included 16 counts of kidnapping, 3 counts of theft of a motor vehicle, 3 counts of using a firearm with the tent, and 1 count of escaping lawful custody and a partridge in a pear tree. He was sentenced. That was nice. Yeah, that was a good one. I know. He was sentenced on November 8th of 1977 to 21 years in prison with parole on the table at 18 years. Now, this sentence would also be served with his sentence that he was serving when he escaped.
Yes.
So his final total sentence was 25 years and 11 months with the possibility of parole after he served 22 years and 11 months.
Okay.
Now, everyone survived. Everyone was good. Everyone's great. Gucci bandana. But the one good thing that did come out of this, besides everyone surviving, was because Eastwood performed 2 of the largest kidnappings in Australia, and both kidnappings were from those rural one-room schools, Australia closed all one room, one teacher, one building schools for good. They said that
Okay.
this was for lack of security reasons. They just didn't see where they could maintain and keep these kids safe, clearly.
I mean, that's obvious. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all. I don't know
So,
whoever was like, let's just put them all in one building.
and see
One
how they
teacher.
do.
Yeah, that. I wouldn't send my child there. I sure wouldn't.
Yeah. So Eastwood is released. Eastwood walked out of the prison walls legally in 1990 on parole, but he landed himself right back in prison after he was convicted of robbing a factory in Notting Hill.
What
He's
is wrong with this man?
He served 2 more years and was released again in 1992 and is now a truck driver.
A truck driver.
Yep.
Here's my thing. You broke out of prison. You did it again. At this point, you don't need to get out. There should be no parole for you.
Now,
You know what
I
I mean?
agree.
And then, so you get out on parole, you get back in jail again
Yeah.
for stealing. Like, just lock him away. That is your third strike, sir. And now you're just out and about driving trucks.
For
Really?
Amazon.
Really? Really, sir? I don't.
He kidnapped an 18-wheeler driver.
Right? So, like, every time he get in that truck, he's like, yeah, I remember the time.
That I stopped one of these at gunpoint.
Right? Like, no.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
And that is our mini lesson of the Faraday school kidnapping.
Wow. Shout out to Australia.
Yeah.
And thank goodness y'all closed those
I swear, because
one
it couldn't
school
be
buildings.
me.
It wouldn't be me.
Yeah. Okay, now,
Because
baby, you do your add and subtracting. I'm gonna go over here and teach some algebra. I'll be right back. Johnny, you were supposed to be working on cursive, baby. Go back over there.
that is definitely the definition of a three-ring circus, okay? The amount of multitasking that had to go on in that classroom is already overwhelming me.
Yeah.
Wow, well, I never heard of that in my life, so thanks for bringing that.
You are so welcome. No murder, but we'll get back into it. I'm just trying to, switch it up a little bit.
You know, it's always nice to switch up things a little
I
bit.
agree. And this was a very interesting case. Like, Eastwood was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I also gotta wonder, you do have to wonder, like, okay, if they had been like, okay, you know what, we'll give it to you. What was your plan after that? You
Right?
now got
Like,
$7 million and 100 kilos of cocaine and heroin. What was after
and
that?
then a bunch of bad guys are just running amok in Australia. Like, what are you thinking?
I don't even know.
That just was not, I don't even know. I would just love to talk to him. Like, what were you thinking? Were you on drugs?
And what teacher hurt you to keep taking teachers?
Yes, what is wrong with you?
And did you go to one of these rural schools? Were you that miserable?
Did you feel a type of way about him? Like, these places didn't keep us safe. I'm gonna show them.
I don't even know. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very congested and I gotta go to work tomorrow.
Same.
So, like always, the bell don't dismiss you.
Oh, we do.
So we will see you next time.
Oh, I was gonna do our jingle again. I don't even know what I was thinking because my brain is not working. Bye.
Bye.